You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kelly Henderson, and you're listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. This week, my guest is Kelly Levesque, who is a holistic nutritionist, wellness expert, and celebrity health coach based in Los Angeles. Some of her clients include Jessica Alba, Chelsea Handler, and Molly Sims. Kelly is the creator of the Fab Four program, which is an amazing guideline for eating that teaches clients not to deprive their bodies, but how to feed them and nourish them in order to function to the best of their ability. She's written two books on the topic and also has an amazing blog named Be Well by Kelly that has tons of recipes that I use on the regular. She and I break down the Fab Four routine, why it works for both health and weight management, and we even talked about the best alcohols to drink when you are trying to stay healthy, especially during the holidays. Here's our conversation. Okay, so we were talking before, and I think that it's so interesting. I've never actually met you because I feel like I know you.
It's the internet, man.
I know,
it's
like social media.
So weird.
It makes you feel like you know everyone. Well, we also do have a lot of mutual friends, and obviously, I found out about you through my friend Amy, Radio Amy, who's you've worked with for years now, right?
Yeah, you know, it was so crazy. I worked with Amy about 4.5 years ago was our first call.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's just this like cute, nice girl from Nashville. Like I had no idea, living under a rock out here. And I'm like, wait a second. You're on the radio with Bobby Bones? Like,
yeah.
What?
So she's a real pretty, deal.
Pretty so like humble, you know?
I know.
Really nice to work with her and become friends with her. And we've like, we did our little like fasting retreat up to the Bacara in Santa Barbara, and you know, she comes out to California a lot. So yeah, love Ames.
Well, what I learned from her about the stuff that you do is a lot about, it's not necessarily about diet or being restrictive with your food. It's just about feeding your body what it needs. And
yeah.
She's taught me a lot about your diet that you created, which is called the Fab Four diet. Is this?
Yeah, well, we don't say the D word.
Okay. What do I say? The Fab Four.
Yeah, it's just a light structure lifestyle.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Okay, so basically what I was interested in was giving people a reason to find the positive on their plate. I think so many times we're like, oh, I can't eat that. I'm not having that. That's off limits. And it becomes like really restrictive. And then you're focusing all this energy on what you shouldn't be eating instead of focusing on what will fuel your body, regulate hunger hormones, balance your blood sugar curve, and like get your body the amino acids, fatty acids, phytochemicals, antioxidants, like everything that your body needs. If you're focusing on that, then you can like feel really good about sort of like checking off your little mini checklist. So the Fab Four is that mini checklist, and it's four things. So you're going to look for protein, fat, fiber, and then leafy greens or vegetables deep in color. So each one of those categories is giving you something essential. So protein, we all have to eat protein, whether we're vegan, vegetarian, keto, paleo, like we have to get protein from our food.
Okay.
And so it can be really, you know, this is the best part about it. It's like eater's choice. It's your choice what you put on your plate, but protein does a phenomenal job of regulating 4 of the 8 hunger hormones in your body. It's the most satisfying macronutrient. So especially when people start with protein, we, you know, studies and nutritional research show us that there are less cravings throughout the day. You have especially less cravings for sugar at that like 2 to 4 o'clock hour. And if you start your day with protein or eating protein, at your meals, you naturally eat less overall and maintain weight loss. So, I mean, protein makes everything. Your neurotransmitters that make you happy, it makes hunger, you know, makes your hormones. It's integral in every cell in your body. So we have to have it. And it's, I notice like a lot of times, especially when people watch documentaries or, you know, get like caught up in things, they maybe lower their protein intake. And then we see some body composition. We see a hard time like keeping body composition, maybe like the weight that we've lost, it's a harder to keep it off. So I'm always asking people to look for that, and I don't care what source it is. That's all up to you. And then the second pillar is fat. So giving people permission to add fat to their plate, it's so important for elongating your blood sugar curve and keeping you full for multiple hours. So old research would say, it like elongates. So if you think about like fat, like putting fat on your food, it's actually slowing the digestion of that meal and making that your blood sugar curve, it elongates your blood sugar curve. So instead of your blood sugar spiking up and crashing down and then feeling hungry again and needing to eat, it elongates it so that you're not hungry for 4 to 6 hours. And what that does is allows for complete digestion, and people end up eating meals, which are generally way more healthy for you than snacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, old research would say like, oh, you want to balance your blood sugar, let's have 5 to 6 small meals a day. But that's not the best way to balance your blood sugar. The best way to balance your blood sugar is to eat foods that naturally support blood sugar balance, which, you know, protein and fat do that. And then when you eat fiber rich vegetables, that does that too. So it's really just like using food to feel full and get your body what it needs. So a lot of people don't realize this, but if you've ever been told you're vitamin D deficient, or, you know, a lot of people are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fat soluble vitamin. So if you're eating food without fat, you're not absorbing the vitamin D from your food.
Oh, wow.
So avocado, olive oil, you know, coconut oil, avocados, nuts, seeds, olives, like whole food fats, clean oils. I would say just with the like cooking oils and oils like dressings, you always want to make sure that it's in a dark bottle and you've screwed the lid on tight and keep it in a cool place, because I don't think a lot of people realize that like their olive oil goes bad after like 3 to 4 months.
Oh, really? Why do you say a dark bottle?
Because light and oxygen both break down, and heat all break down the oil and oxidize it. So it becomes inflammatory. So you want to buy like extra virgin would mean that it's like the first press, and you always want to look for cold pressed.
Yes.
Because then that means that they're not using heat to extract the oil and they're just pressing it. And like a good way to figure out or know if you're eating a clean, healthy oil is, can you squeeze it out of the fruit yourself? Like olives, avocados, coconuts. We start to get into oils like canola oil, rapeseed oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, corn oil, like cottonseed oil. Like those are all really small seeds or kernels, and they actually use a chemical like hexane to extract it.
Wow.
So, you know, you don't need to remember all that stuff, but the best thing to think about when you see an oil on a package, like on a hummus, if it says safflower oil and you're like, what's safflower? And I've never heard of that or eaten that before. Like, probably not the best oil. So you want to look for the oils like the olive or the avocado oil or the coconut oil that you could extract yourself.
Wow. Okay. That was a really good tip. So
that makes it easy.
So can you give some examples of healthy fat? Because I think people are starting to learn a lot more about this now, but I know initially when people started discussing like the keto stuff or just eating more healthy fats, people are scared of that because you hear fat and you equate that to weight gain, I think.
Absolutely. So the interesting thing is fat in your body, like ketosis is a really popular diet, but ketosis is the absence of carbohydrates. And so when you don't have carbohydrates, your body will burn a fat, a derivative called a ketone. So your body metabolizes fat and it creates these little like these things called ketones, which are what our brain and body use as energy when we aren't eating carbohydrates. Carbohydrates produce glucose or blood sugar. So fat, when you're in ketosis, and when people kick themselves into ketosis by not eating any carbohydrates, their body will start to burn fat. Now, if you're eating fat, it's going to burn the fat you're eating. And if it needs more energy, it's going to start to burn your own body fat. So a lot of times people get into ketosis and they start to burn the fat that they're eating. They're also burning their own body fat. And eventually they plateau and they're like, oh, I need to eat more fat because I'm not in deep enough ketosis. And that's not the answer. It's actually that you just need to really be careful and not have any carbohydrates, because the minute your body eats a carbohydrate, that is a really fast, easy form of fuel. And it's always going to burn the fastest, easiest fuel first. So if you're in ketosis and you, like, I don't know, have a bite of potato or have a bite of bread, like, your body is going to burn that immediately and kick you out of ketosis. So fat, when you're like a lot of fat, when you're, when you, pull and don't have any glucose or carbohydrate containing foods, you can kind of eat a lot of it. Like, there are people I have worked with in ketosis that are eating 3,500 calories a day, and, you know, 1,500 of those are coming from fat, you know. But it really depends on the person. I think when I'm talking about healthy fat, like, not only am I trying to get you the help you get all the fat-soluble vitamins and fat-soluble phytochemicals from your food, but I'm also trying to make your food last longer for you so that you aren't snacking, so that you aren't reaching for those things that are like chips, crackers, like everything that's a protein bar most often is like a carbohydrate bomb, sugar bomb bar. Like, you want to be careful of that stuff. So fat for me is like, that's a tool to help people not feel hungry. Mm-hmm. It also, like, a lot of my clients report better digestion, better bowel movements, better, you know, more skin health, all kinds of things. So it really, and for some people, it helps me unlock weight loss, because what it does is it satisfies people in the place of carbohydrates. So if you think about, like, having, let's say you had a chicken burger or something on a bun. Like, if someone wanted to put that on a lettuce wrap, they might not feel super satisfied. But if I said, I want you to, like, smear a whole bunch of avocado or guac on that, which is a really healthy fat, they're going to feel way more satisfied emotionally and physically, because fat releases these satiety hormones that make us feel full. And so I know, like, okay, let's use that. Let's put some guac. Let's, like, add the toppings. If you want, like, turkey or regular bacon, let's, like, you know, pasture raised, that's a great option. You throw it on there, and then all of a sudden they're feeling satisfied by that. Where if they just had the chicken burger, remove the bun, and tried to have it on lettuce, they're like, I feel like I'm dieting this stuff.
Totally. Yeah.
So it's really using that to feel calm and full and make your food work for you.
So you've mentioned carbs a couple of times. Like, what do you think about carbs? Are we supposed to just stay completely clear of them?
No, I don't think that at all. So what I always teach my clients is, like, what are carbohydrates? How do they work in your body? And so I give the example of, like, let's say you just had a potato or a piece of bread or a little bowl of rice. The way that I think about it is, you eat it. It's digested in your, you know, you're chewing it, you're breaking it down, goes into your stomach, it's digested, and then it gets to your intestine, it goes across basically the one cell lining of your epithelial lining, which is your intestines, it goes into your bloodstream, it's called blood sugar. So if anyone was ever an athlete and they had to carbo load, they would eat carbohydrates, those carbohydrates would make their way into their bloodstream, and then what happens is our liver and our muscles suck that sugar up. So when we're working out, we're dumping those big tanks. And so I always explain that, like, if you're having a potato, I want you to picture the little potato emoji. You eat it, the emojis are, like, floating in your bloodstream. They need to find a home. And your liver sucks some up, and then your muscles suck the rest up. But if your muscles are full because you've been eating carbohydrates all the time and you have not been working out, then your blood sugar is going to stay elevated. And what's going to happen is your body's going to work really hard to try to put that sugar away by dumping a bunch of insulin into your bloodstream. And what insulin does is it releases enzymes that tell our fat cells to suck up fat and not burn it. So that's the problem with carbohydrates. It's not that they aren't used as fuel. Like, your carbohydrates are can be stored in your body as fuel, and you work out and you burn it. The problem is if you're eating carbohydrates all day long, you're constantly releasing insulin and you're not oxidizing the fat that's in your body.
Okay, this is so fascinating. Wait, so do you, like, would you say, okay, then eat carbs in the morning more? Like, is that a better thing, or do you, does it matter?
So this is where I consult with clients based on who they are as a person. Okay. So if someone were to have carbohydrates in the morning, their blood sugar would spike up and they would crash down. Now, if they're the type of person that could have carbs in the morning and not crave them at lunch and snack and dinner after that, then I would say, okay, what I would do if I were you is I'd get your workout in first thing in the morning to make sure your muscles are empty and hungry for sugar. And then I would have your breakfast that had a little carbs in it, allow those muscles to suck up the sugar, and then make sure that you're having enough protein and a good fab for lunch, which would be like, you know, your protein source, your fat source, and then fiber and greens might be a cauliflower rice bowl with, like, you know, chives, chicken, and avocado.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
God. Yeah, like a lettuce wrap burger, shrimp lettuce cup tacos. You could do zoodles, spaghetti squash. Like, we lean on squashes and light starches a lot, like low glycemic berries, because those are really more fiber than they are sugar.
Okay.
And so that's the beauty of fiber, is like, fiber doesn't break down to blood sugar. So whenever you're eating veggies or you're looking at like crackers and one has like higher fiber and a lower net carbohydrate, we know it's not going to spike our blood sugar as high. So for someone who has no problem with cravings, I might say, yeah, go for it. Like, have your carbs in the morning. But then for someone else, I might say, you know what? I want you to get up. I want you to work out. I want you to have like eggs and avocado and some veggies for breakfast. Or I want you to have my smoothie, which is really low, if not no sugar. So it's like, if anyone's adding fruit to the Fab Four smoothie, it's a fourth a cup of fruit. And that's because I don't want your blood sugar to spike up and crash down, because when you're crashing, you're craving. So it's really about elongating that curve. You picture your blood sugar, I want it to like float like a flowing river versus spike up high and crash down like a big wave, because our emotions and our cravings follow that blood sugar curve. So the more I can flatten you out naturally with food, the easier it is for you to lose weight, the better you feel emotionally, the less you think about food, and the more the faster we hit any goals you have.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting about the carbs specifically, because I used to be like an avid, I would eat oatmeal every morning, and I thought that that was a healthy alternative for me. You know, it's like, it seems like a lot of fiber. I've just, you know, grown up thinking, oh, that's really healthy. But exactly.
Most people.
Yeah, exactly like what you're saying. I learned over the years that it does spike your blood sugar. So the stuff I was craving later, because I guess you're just constantly trying to get your body back to that high feeling. Is that the deal?
Yeah, well, anytime you're crashing, you want carbs to pull yourself back up. But the problem is, it's almost like the roller coasters at a museum or an amusement park, because what's happening is like you're getting momentum. Like you spike up with that oatmeal and you're crashing down. You're like, ooh, I need like a yogurt or an apple or a banana or like a bar. And you're bringing yourself up even higher. And the problem is a lot of times we're not coming back as low as we were before. So it's almost like we're going up, crashing down, going higher, crashing down a little bit more, going higher. And then what happens is that we have high blood sugar related diseases. So if someone has elevated blood sugar, they've doubled their chances. Like if their blood sugar is around 95 to 100 on average, you've doubled your chances for Alzheimer's.
Really?
If you have elevated blood sugar, you've doubled your chances for polycystic ovarian syndrome. Diseases that might occur would be insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, type 1.5 diabetes. Like there are so many things that are related to high blood sugar.
Uh-huh.
Whereas like when people are like, are carbs bad? I'm like, no, your body knows how to deal with carbs, but you weren't meant to eat carbs at every single meal.
Right.
Like you just weren't. Like, so pick one meal a day where your body has to deal with that. And you know, it deals with it the best around a workout. So like if you work out in the afternoon, you could have like quinoa on your salad or at, you know, your sweet green salad at lunch, or you could have, you know, pasta after that workout and at dinner. But then the next morning, I wouldn't start your day with pancakes.
Right.
Or even oatmeal. it's just a lot for your body to handle. You're always wanting your body to bring its blood sugar, bring your blood sugar back down to a normal level, which is, 70 to 80 milligrams per deciliter. And it's, that's pretty scientific, but occasionally if I've been with a client long enough, I might have them get a glucometer at CVS and pretend like they're diabetic just to see like how food affects me. So for example, I have these around my house because, I might get this, people know that I love this pizza in my neighborhood from Pisana, which is like the owner of Sprinkles Cupcakes. It's amazing. She does a gluten-free buckwheat pizza. Yum. And it's like a Sicilian style, like thin crust, and like she flew her chef in from like Italy. It's insane. But I will test my blood sugar before I'll have it, and I'll test my blood sugar after, and then the next morning. And like, I might intermittent fast a little bit, or I might have one of my Fab Four smoothies with absolutely no fruit. And then the next meal I'll have like a salad with protein, and then maybe a hard boiled egg, or like, some kind of like a handful of nuts for a snack. But I'm not going back into carbohydrates because I'm allowing for my body to bring that blood sugar back down. Yeah. So that I'm not in such a storage state.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's so much of what I hear you saying, because I think, I know I've been guilty of this over the years. I've heard all my friends be guilty of this. Like, when you think of diet, first of all, you think of restriction. Second of all, you're mostly in a mentality of like weight loss. And what I hear you saying a lot is talking about even just like the evening out of your blood sugar levels and all of those things for the purpose of making our bodies work the most efficiently as possible. So, or like to the best of their ability, like having the most energy, being the most effective, sleeping better, all of those reasons.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just, you're just not going to have longevity if it's something that's going to be, it is really restrictive with an eat and do not eat list.
Yeah.
Like I laugh when people are like, I'm keto and, or I'm raw vegan, or they're very, very, these very extreme things. And the reality is you're that right now.
Let's exactly.
That is not your life. You're not going to be that way when you're 90. And if you are, I applaud that. But I also want you not to feel so, like, I think people really connect who they are with how they eat. And, but it's important to remember, like, that's the science right now. Like, I think what's coming down the pipe that's really, really interesting is regenerative farming and how it sequesters carbon from the air and makes the healthiest produce and the healthiest vegetables we could ever have. And these are on farms with grazing animals like cows and pigs and goats. And that the way that nature works is it works best in an ecosystem and a community where animals defecate and their poop is fertilizer for the ground, which makes the soil healthier, which makes our plants suck up more vitamins and nutrients from the soil, which makes our plants healthier. So when we eat them, you know, it's like, or the animals eat them, they're healthier. And it's this amazing circle of life that I think when we let nature do what it's meant to do, like we create the healthiest, it's the healthiest it can be. And so when we do these extreme things, like I'm not going to eat vegetables because they have anti-nutrients, or I'm not going to eat any animal meat, and that's fine too. Like I have clients who are completely vegan and I support them. But I want people to have all the scientific information before they're making these informed choices, because what happens if it's not working for you anymore? What if you're like carnivore and then you decide like, I really like to eat some vegetables.
Right.
Like, these very extreme diets, when you connect with them so in a way where you believe that you are, it's who you are, it's really hard to extricate yourself and change and grow if it's not who you are anymore. And so I always like people to not be super connected to how, I mean, be connected to how you eat for the betterment of our world and the health of our, you know, our planet. But also, like, the more you think about it and the more you control your food, it's like, that's when I see my clients binge. That's when I see them feel out of control. And it's, if we can step away from the way we eat and just almost like watch ourselves and make decisions to add and nourish and put energy into self-care versus deprive, restrict, and diet, you all of a sudden have legs that will go for years. Like it has longevity and sustainability versus, you know, something that's really going to even affect your confidence. Like I have amazing clients who are, you know, VPs or business owners or actors, and you're like, wow, I've seen you in magazines, I've read about you in Fortune or Inc. or seen you in People, and you're this amazing, fabulous person, and food's affecting your confidence.
Wow, yeah. I think that I was just about to ask you about how do you switch the mentality of from being so restrictive when you're thinking about eating, but I love that idea of making it about self-care. Like food is for self-care and how to fuel your body versus like, oh, I'm not going to eat that because X, Y, Z.
Yeah. So I work on crowding it out. What I mean by that is like, when we think about a plate, we think about putting the nourishing foods, the Fab Four that support cell, tissue, hormone, neurotransmitter, brain health, skin health, like all of these things are proven to really balance our blood sugar, decrease inflammation, fuel our bodies, prevent nutrient deficiencies. And so when someone's like headed to eat, they think about the Fab Four and they're like, all right, I'm going to have like the salmon with veggies. Let's get the avocado, hummus, and veggies to start. Do we need to get a side salad for the table? It's about adding, like looking at those sides, looking at the starter salads, really doing that first. And then if you're like, hey, I want a glass of wine, or hey, let's share a dessert, it's not about restricting to have those things. It's about crowding out the sugar and really filling your plate with what what is going to nourish your body. And then if a bite here happens or a sip there happens, it's not the end of the world because it wasn't the majority of your meal and you filled up and fueled with something else.
So with holidays, obviously we have all kinds of stuff happening. And you just mentioned alcohol, which I think is a really interesting thought when you're thinking about what you're putting in your body. What are your thoughts on alcohol?
Yeah. Well, I drink. I'm a lot of fun. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's interesting. So alcohol is metabolized in your liver and it is something that gives off toxic byproducts. And it's something we need to neutralize with, you know, antioxidant stores in our body. And it can give us a hangover, you know. So
right.
It's important to remember that that there are side effects. I always say if it's about a couple of things. It's about quality, it's about quantity, and it's about your why. So quality would be like, if you're going to drink, how can we pick a quality alcohol, whether that's pesticide, like a biodynamic, pesticide-free organic wine. So if you're a member of Thrive Market, that's where one of the places I get my wines.
Okay.
Because grapes are sprayed heavily with pesticides. And then when it comes to winemaking, they now add something called Mega Purple, which is grape juice concentrate, like pure fructose, which is pretty toxic, and added sulfites. So all of those things make metabolizing the wine harder on our body and more toxic. So there are ways you can get totally affordable, clean wines like that. Whole Foods has them as well. Mm-hmm. Even Trader Joe's has one called Well Red. So it's picking that cleaner option. So
we're
that.
Looking for biodynamic. Is that what you said?
Biodynamic organic wines.
Biodynamic or organic. Okay.
Biodynamic means they're working with the soil. They're not adding a bunch of fertilizer to it. They know their land. They know their water. The amount of water that normally comes through that land. They work to basically grow the plants in their natural state without a lot of disruption.
Okay.
So that's what that means. Organic, you know, there are organic pesticides, but when you go on thrivemarket.com, you're getting pesticide-free wine, which is really important to me personally because,
when you think about pesticides, I don't think people realize, and I always go on these big rants about like the chemicals people are putting in our food, and we just don't even know that's things that you would like use for cleaning, or that's like, you know, out in to kill insects, you think, and we're drinking that stuff. Like, that's crazy to me.
I know. It really is. So there's a way to get rid of it. And if you're someone, if you're someone who drinks a lot of wine, like this is a huge investment in your health. And I use dry farm wines too, but just even for weight, when you talk about adding fructose to wine, like your liver can only metabolize a certain amount of fructose before it's creating fat. So, and the same with alcohol. So when I look at like ways to lower the toxic load, lower what you're metabolizing in your liver, like picking a wine with less fructose really helps. Like I've had a client who drank a certain type of red wine that will go unnamed, but it's a popular one that like a lot of people drink, and a Pinot, like very jammy. And we switched her wine and she lost 7 pounds in a month doing nothing else.
What?
Like
7 pounds?
And granted, she would like have a glass of wine maybe 4 to 5 nights a week, so I knew I was going to make a huge impact.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so let's say she had somewhere between 4 and 8 glasses a week, like 1 or 2, a certain couple nights a week. Like that's a lot of glasses over a month and a big impact we can make. So I think it's worth looking into that.
When how it comes do you to, find yeah. how much fructose is in wine? Do they have to put that on the label?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do we know?
So you just want to pick wines that are organic and biodynamic because they're not using those techniques. So there's a company called Dry Farm Wines, which is a club.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. And they make sure that there's no added fructose to their wines as well. So that's a great club too. When it comes to hard alcohol, it would be, again, quality. And I would say clear is going to be better for you because it doesn't contain conjugers, and conjugers are present in dark alcohols.
Okay.
And that's just a toxic byproduct of making a dark alcohol that can cause broken capillaries and is responsible for like a stronger hangover. So, you know, a Blanco tequila or a potato vodka is a cleaner option.
Right.
If you're going for a hard alcohol. And then
speaking
when it comes
my language.
To beer, yeah, when it comes to, I'm like if I had a choice, I think I'd be like a dirty martini.
Uh-huh.
Or a spicy margarita.
I'm a spicy margarita kind of girl.
Yeah, there's actually a tequila company called 21 Seeds that started in San Francisco, but it's out of Mexico, and it's women who, working moms, who only work during school hours. So they work like basically between like 8 and 3 p.m. every day, and it's female owned and operated, and it's they have like a jalapeno cucumber infused,
yum,
a hibiscus infused, like a grapefruit infused, and it's just the rinds, so there's no sugar, which is really, really amazing. It's really flavorful, and you don't have to do a lot, like a little soda and like a splash of lime, no sugar, and it's delicious.
21 Seed is the name of that?
Yeah, 21 Seed.
Amazing. Seeds. Okay, I'm going to check that one out.
So that's sort of my alcohol play. And when it comes to alcohol, I really ask people to choose when they are given the option. Like, if you're going to have the wine or you're going to have the cocktail, like, unfortunately, it like lowers our inhibitions and we go to reach for sugar.
Right.
Like, that would be the time where I'd want you to lower your sugar intake, because granulated sugar, like white table sugar or even coconut sugar or honey or maple syrup, like, people are like, that's so much better. No, it's still sugar, you know? So I wouldn't be like a total stickler if someone's mom used like regular sugar. It's all breaking down in your body to two things. Glucose, which raises your blood sugar, and fructose, which needs to be metabolized in your liver. So it's a 50-50. Like, table sugar is called sucrose, and that is two sugars. And if you split those up, one sugar is glucose and one sugar is fructose. So one is getting shuffled to your liver to be metabolized, and one takes your blood sugar up. So it's just when we're drinking alcohol and then we're eating sugar and then we're drinking more alcohol and eating more sugar, it's just compounding in our body.
Right.
So when you can, I always joke with my clients that like, you have the Fab Four and you get your party plus one. Like, we're not here to restrict, but like, pick the person or the thing that you want to bring to the party. Like, do you want your dirty martini? Do you want your mom's pumpkin pie?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want, like, pick that thing, enjoy that thing, and have, you know, bring a plus one to your party. It's not, you know, you don't get to bring a whole crew.
Right. Well, I love that mentality though, because I was reading a lot about your Thanksgiving. You put some Thanksgiving recipes up on your blog, and you said too, though, or maybe this was on your Instagram, you were like, if you had that potato, like, don't beat yourself up. It's just like, balance it out in the next meal.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is like, what we do is we end up beating ourselves up, and everyone's really hard on themselves. Like, I'm a horrible person. I can't believe I had that pumpkin pie. And then that led to the wine. And then I had like an extra serving of stuffing, like, standing in the kitchen over the counter. Like, okay.
Right.
It's one meal. Like, you have these big glutes and hamstrings and quads, and, you know, you have muscles all over your body that are there to suck up that sugar, that blood sugar. So don't make it where you all of a sudden have to swing into some crazy cleanse the next day where you're starting some restrictive thing that's for sure going to change your life. Like, the less energy and emotion you put into those bites, the less you'll want to swing into this restrictive cleanse that, unfortunately, a lot of times those don't work. They're short-term fixes. We can't stick to them. And then we break that and feel worse.
Right.
So we swing all the way back to binging again. And it's like, take a few bites and literally think about how you can eat at the next meal to balance your blood sugar or turn off your hunger hormones or satisfy cravings. Like, a lot of my girls are waking up this morning because it's the day after Thanksgiving, and they're having a chocolate almond butter smoothie and sneaking a handful of spinach in it. Or they're having a pumpkin pie smoothie that has pumpkin, vanilla collagen, cinnamon, maybe a little almond butter, and they might have like snuck a handful of spinach in there. But like, I know there's no sugar in those smoothies, but they have that decadent, desserty type feel, so they can feel calm and balanced. And that's one of the things we do over the holidays, is it really isn't about restricting, and it isn't about not celebrating, because I think that that would be a really sad existence. Like,
totally.
It is time to like cheers your girlfriends, break bread with your family, like make those family recipes that have been passed down for years. Maybe you can elevate them with like a few cleaner ingredients, but it really is about how you can get consistent in this period of time of inconsistency and celebration. And we do that a lot with my girls with breakfast and lunch. Like, how can you get consistent? Are you going to be the breakfast person that makes a Fab Four smoothie every single day from Thanksgiving to New Year's?
Yeah.
Great. Like, you're committing to that. It can be decadent. Like I said, chocolate almond butter, dark chocolate, olive oil, sea salt, like pumpkin spice, whatever. But get consistent with that. Or maybe you're like, look, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, all I'm going to commit to is having like a big fatty salad for lunch every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to get those greens in. I'm going to get those veggies in. And like, if I'm going to brunch with girlfriends, or we're going to dinner, or making a big dinner together, and like, enjoy that.
So all of this can be a little overwhelming if you're just starting out. Like, let's say you have, you know, you are going, okay, I need to make a change with my diet and I don't know where to start. Like, what would you suggest to people as the one, like, what's the easiest way to start, or the one thing that maybe you could change out that would make a big difference initially?
I'll tell you, it's sort of cheesy and really kitschy, but so much research shows us that if people eat breakfast, like intermittent fasting is so, so popular right now. Uh-huh. And it's based on research out of USC by Dr. Longo. And he was in an interview like a couple weeks ago, and he even said the most important meal of the day is your breakfast. It's when you break your fast. I don't care if that's at 6 a.m. or 11 a.m, but the first meal that you eat, if it contains over 20 grams of protein and it is a balanced meal that doesn't send you on a blood sugar roller coaster, the body composition results, like the research is just astounding. It is time and time again, like, people are not feeling anxious around food. People are eating less overall, feeling more balanced. That's the thing, is like, if I can take away the crash cravings that people have from grabbing a protein bar, or having sugar, like a sugary decadent coffee drink or whatever it is, like that right there, I know they're not going to crash into lunch and be starving and having cravings and looking at their coworkers or their friends and being like, what are we Uber Eatsing or Postmating or whatever, DoorDashing? What are we getting? Like, so many times I talk to clients and they're hungry for lunch and it's 10:15.
Yeah.
You know, I can shut down hunger hormones for people between 4 and 6 hours when they have my smoothie, because even just having an egg or two eggs is 6 to 12 grams of protein. That's only half. And girls are like, wait, you want me to have a 4-egg omelet?
Yeah.
It feels like a lot to eat. Whereas if you make a smoothie, it could have spinach and lemon and cucumber, be super green, and you add one scoop of 20 grams of protein, and then all of a sudden they're turning around at 1 p.m. and being like, oh my gosh, are we ordering lunch? Like, what's happening? And you're arriving at those at your next meals alive and feeling calm and balanced, so you automatically make better choices.
Wow. I mean, I have so many questions because I find this so interesting and fascinating, but I do, like, I think my biggest thing when I hear you talk is you're so knowledgeable. And so I'm like, I just want to pick your brain about everything. But what if, like, I mean, I guess your website would be a really good resource for people, because I've made a lot of those recipes.
And both of my books. So my second book comes out December 30th.
Okay.
My first book came out 2 years ago, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. It's basically the Fab Four lifestyle. The first book breaks down the science and gives you a bunch of recipes.
Yeah.
And the second book breaks it down by lifestyle. So it's like girl on the go, plant-based devotee, red carpet ready, and domestic goddess. So I also have a last chapter on the perfectionist, which is like getting out of that perfectionist mindset. But it really is about like, okay, cool. You want to eat a protein bar? Here's how I tell my clients to look at labels when they're at the grocery store or at a convenience store. Okay, you want to make a smoothie? You want to make a 45-hour-long meal, something that takes a long time? domestic audit chapter is for you.
Yeah.
You want to make a meal in 15 or 20 minutes? Girl on the go chapter is for you. Like, it's just like, how can we do this quickly, or how can we, you know, take a long time? But either way, it's knowing that you can pop into any of these lifestyles and be supported by just thinking about what should go in your plate or in your smoothie versus what you should strip away.
Well, and that can, I love that you say it can bounce back and forth between different people, because mine would just depend on the day or the time of the year or what I was going through, like up to which girl I would be.
Totally. Me too.
Yeah.
Like, there are days when I'm like, I just want a vegetarian meal. Or there are days when I'm like, I literally need to put dinner on the table for my family in 15 minutes.
Right. How important is it to listen to your body? Because I know that, like, I went through a phase where I did the Fab Four smoothie every morning. Like I told you before that, I did oatmeal every morning. But, like, you get in these habits, right? So is it good to do something consistently, or is it good to just be like, hey, what do I want to do today? Like, how am I feeling today?
I think that you need to have consistent, healthy habits. Because what it is, it's almost like the foundation of a house. Like, all of these little habits, let's say that you are a person who meditates, or you work out first thing in the morning, or you journal, or you like have a ritual where you drink your water and take your supplements, or, you know, name that thing. Like,
yeah,
when you do something a couple of days in a row and you get in the habit of doing it, then it's automatic and it happens, and you're adding this self-care element to your life, whether it's eating breakfast or having, you know, working out. I think in those habits, you can fluctuate. Like, whether you're like, oh, I do yoga for a while and then I get on a yoga kick and I'm doing yoga every single day for a couple months, and then you're like, I'm over this, and you hit one spin class and then you're super into that. I think that they can be replaced with other things, but you want to think about like core elements, like nutrition being one thing. So how you're eating, like what you're eating. Movement being one thing. So how are you moving your body? How are you dumping those muscles? How are you increasing insulin sensitivity? Like, the emotional and mental well-being as another. Like, what do you, are you going to a therapist? Like, do you call your best friend every day? Like, what do you need to feel like yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And then sleep. Like, I will tell you this. I have had clients in the past where the food, the workouts, you know, all of the support tools are in place, and we don't lose an ounce of fat because of sleep.
Lack of sleep.
Like, lack of sleep.
Wow.
Poor sleep habits, poor sleep quality. It's a huge factor in decreasing inflammation, decreasing blood sugar, decreasing triglycerides, decreasing inflammatory markers. It is paramount.
Wow.
And so when I think about how can people be really successful with having this like wellness-based life, they need to know that those are the pillars of health. And if they can't do anything, if they aren't motivated to do anything, going to bed, you know, if you need to, throwing on an eye mask, quiet, cool room, and trying to get at least 6, but like preferably 8 hours, is an absolute game changer. We see it in brain health as well, like emotional well-being.
Right.
If you, like a night of bad sleep, and we have increases in ghrelin, which is a hunger hormone that really makes you want to graze all day long, decreases in leptin, which is a satiety hormone that is sent from our fat cells to our brain that says like, we're full, we don't need to eat anymore. And we also see that insulin sensitivity is down, meaning we have to pump way more insulin out to deal with sugar. So it's just, it's sort of a metabolic nightmare, but if it can be like something that you focus on, it can make such a big difference.
It's so true though. When I sleep bad, I immediately when I wake up, I'm like, I want carbs. I want junk food. It's just all day. I think when you're tired, you just, that's what I crave, at least all the time.
Oh yeah. And you know what's so funny is I always tell my clients when stuff like this happens, I'm like, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Like, this is not you. These are three hormones in play, plus, you know, insulin sensitivity, plus, you know, your body's going like, I feel like junk. And so sugar is going to give me energy.
Right.
And I'm going to just keep riding that roller coaster.
Right. So interesting. I feel like I could talk to you forever. A good place for people to go find more information about this is obviously your website, which is kellylevesque.com. Will you spell your last name for us?
Sure. It's L-E-V-E-Q-U-E.
And you have a ton of recipes, like I talked about. I always make the chia flax chicken fingers. That is one of my favorite. And if I always tell people, too, if you're having a craving, that is a really good way to feel like you're not depriving yourself of, you know, the junk food that you might want. But it's a great alternative.
Oh, I'm all about those swaps.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to taste like things that I've grown up eating, and chicken fingers were one of my favorites.
I saw the recipe for the orange habanero salsa today. I was like, yeah, gonna have to try that one.
It's delicious.
I can't wait. I'm a big salsa person. Also, we mentioned your books, which the first one is called Body Love, which is out now. And then Body Love Every Day comes out, you said, December 30th?
You got it.
Amazing. And what is your Instagram? Where can people find you on social media?
So social media handles everywhere are at Be Well by Kelly.
Be Well by Kelly. I highly recommend you guys go check her out. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
It was such a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys for listening. Bye. This is Kelly Henderson, and you've been listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. I truly believe that every one of us has a little velvet and a little edge. So it's so important to remember that to be strong, you must be soft too. Thank you so much for sharing in those stories with me. You can follow Velvet's Edge on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as velvetsedge.com. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me every Wednesday for more conversations on lifestyle, beauty, and relationships. Thanks for listening.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.